to whoever the fuck is.
Really, it ain't nothing I could lose. Really, it ain't nothing I could do. I heard all you past do. I heard all you past do, May you rest in peace. If you ain't let a nigga get a piece, and gave the hood ship a Medellin. Really immortal, couldn't that the king? No, we ain't going for the bullshit. No, we ain't going for no short seater. Whoa, see, it's nothing you can fool with. Whoa, give me mine, or it's more ether. Oh, y'all need more reason? You mean to tell me I ain't foreseen this? Well, what if God wasn't coming from the sky? This the Gullah Wars, but it's for your mind. Niggas made it out the gutter just in time. Couldn't fuck with the divine. Shit is all backwards. One world, how we all Atlas. Kill one of us while we ain't all clapping. Nah, it ain't said tripping. Born with a death sentence, life short as a clip. Why you think it's extended? Pay attention. They say that we came from the basement. The name of the game is erasure. Every time they kill us, they display it. Black man ain't nothing to play with. Really, it ain't nothing I could lose. Really, it ain't nothing I could do. I heard all you past do, I heard all you past do, Someday a better me could sing to you about some better thing. Give me mine, I need everything. Your favorite rapper, nigga, selling dreams. This talk's dangerous to those who endanger us. They want dangle us. They campaign to us. They got chains for us. While we claim into a system that's draining us. This whole shit came from us. Make it make sense, no. Make them make dollars, no. Make them run all of they shit, cause that's our shit. Make them run all of they shit, cause that's ours. Feeling so electric, too connected, black power. Everything in abundance for everything we succumb to. Everything that they plundered, everything that they stunted. Everything they prescribed us, everything they subscribed us. Everything that they conjured with the goal to disguise us. And we ain't taking shorts, nigga. Par for the course, nigga. Let you walk around on my earth like it's yours, nigga. Nah, give me yours, nigga. Nah, give me yours, nigga. Really, it ain't nothing I could lose. Really, it ain't nothing I could do. I heard all you past do. I heard all you. And you say so, so.
Just had my money by the first hole. I don't wanna have to hurt folks.
Guys, see this? This is gambling addiction.
Nah, it ain't.
No, what you? How much you owe Tony Soprano? Did I tell you I'm binge watching The Sopranos again? Like watching it from the beginning, watching all the seasons. That shit is The thing about rewatching The Sopranos, I'm rediscovering some wild shit that happened on that shit. What?
Cause I'm look at what this nigga posted. Cause I'm about to delete this nigga. But I'm reading the comments first.
Men have sex with men because we don't get pregnant, right or wrong.
Yeah, nigga, you making a confession then, right? A bitch asked the nigga.
Oh, so wait. This person, nobody ever knew he gay. He don't.
I don't know, but the bitch asked the nigga, if you are you saying this because this is what you do? And nigga says no, he heterosexual. All this extra shit about how much he love pussy.
I adore vagina.
No, I do not. Not that. I don't knock people that do. To each his own. What?
Well, I don't knock homosexual men.
I was a little confused, but hey. I need a lot. yo, this shit crazy.
I mean, I don't understand his point in posting that. Like, if you saying that, like, you're for gay rights, like, you know, you might have a gay friend. That I get. That part
yeah,
I get.
Shit, wow, yeah, you getting deleted, buddy.
Why are you deleting him, though? That's the part I don't understand.
Because I don't want to see that type of shit. Listen, man.
But do he always say stuff like that?
I don't know. I don't
really. Oh, so you rarely see him. He pops up on your timeline today with some shit that got you feeling a little, I don't like that. That's what you're saying.
Basically.
I got it. I feel that because I'm on that shit right now. That's what I was just talking to Lydia about.
Because my shit is, I don't, this is my thing, man. Like, when I got an inkling that a nigga is like that way, I get him off my page. Cause I'm not gonna have no nigga sitting there liking me on my page. Like, I'm straight. I don't need that type of energy.
I mean, I feel two ways about that. One, you gotta understand homosexual men do have preferences. Just because they gay, that don't mean that they're attracted to you.
Well, if niggas had never tried to holler at me before, I wouldn't feel no way.
That just means the dudes that tried to holler at you was attracted to you.
I don't give a fuck. Do you hear what I'm saying? If niggas had never tried to holler at me, I wouldn't give a fuck.
So you defriended Bubba?
Huh?
You defriended Bubba?
He never tried to holler at me, and that was a different type of...
See, but that just proves what I'm saying. You can be cool. I'm gay. You know what I'm saying? You can be cool with gay people.
I know. I'm cool with gay people. You know Ramon from Cutter Street? Used to run track and shit back in the day, Jamaican
yes,
nigga.
Yes.
That's my guy. He's a cool nigga to me. But I happen to know you shake with niggas. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I just don't think that you should just be unwilling to be friends with people because they're gay. But listen, I can certainly respect
if I don't
you
know
not
you,
wanting to be
if
cool
I don't
with
know you,
that
if I don't
you.
Know you, right? If I don't know you, and it's strictly on Facebook, and I feel like you might be on some level might like me, mm-hmm. I'm straight. No.
So basically what he's saying, he's not homophobic. He don't have no qualms with being
I'm homophobic friends. Against homos niggas
that
like me.
He just don't want niggas to be hitting on him and be saying gay exactly. things that make him feel like they want to do gay things to him.
Because then I have to kill you.
So basically if you're a homosexual man and you want to have any kind of coolness with him, you got to remember that you're a man first. That's really important. Remember that you a man first. Like, just approach him on man shit. Don't sound no kind of feminine. I'm just trying to tell you that because you got to remember he have Jamaican. That's just that part right there says a lot. As a culture, I've dated like 4 Jamaican girls. Word to me, my first Jamaican girlfriend, she used to make me pretend I was a dude, bro. Like, I used to have to go to her crib and, like, always wear, like, extra big shit. And she never wanted me to, like, talk to her parents, just, like, wave and shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, sneak by because... And then I found out she used to tell her parents that I was her boyfriend. Because if they found out, then...
Probably
she got away with that shit.
Yeah,
she got away with that shit until she was, like, in her 20s. Before her family finally realized that we was girls. She was really sneaking us past. And I don't want to judge, you know... people for their culture. All I'm saying is kids get fucked up like that. She's not right in the head.
I know. I understand that. You're absolutely right. But at the same time, you know, lines get blurred and they getting a real blur nowadays. And nah.
Well, this is episode 62. You now rocking with DJ Exclusive.
DJ Exclusive.
That's your boy, Dope Boy. And this is this episode is called Reparations. Now, I named this episode after my best friend Clinton LG's new single that he dropped. It is on all digital streaming services. Spotify is taking a little bit of more time than the other ones. But you can go get that on Apple. You can go get that on Google. You can definitely go get it off his Bandcamp. He's only selling the single for $1, so don't be cheap. It's been a minute since he's given us music. If you're a fan of this podcast, this picture right here, that's my baby. That's Clinton LG right there. That's his first album that he gave me. And so that interview, Doughboy was actually at work when we did it. So you're going to listen to him talk a little bit about working with industry producers like The Watchers. He's going to be talking about what he's got coming out in Jersey City. He's out of hiatus officially. So if you've been a fan of him, if you know anything about his music, you know he ain't put out nothing new since what? I think his last album came out maybe 4 years ago. So you can go get his catalog off of Bandcamp. When I say niggas is garbage, it's because I listen to a lot of niggas like him. He's probably the Jersey City Nas, if I could put it any way. He's like introspective.
Whoa. That's very, very high praise.
Yeah, he's like
introspective. I'm going to have to listen to this nigga album now. Okay. Just because you said that.
He's introspective like Joe Budden. He said that during the interview, too, that he gets a lot of his introspectiveness from Joe Budden. But he's like one of those artists that he embodies everything that he go through his music. So when you listen to his music, it's basically listening to everything that he go through. So we're going to put that on the second end of the podcast. And this episode is coming out a couple of days before Christmas Eve. So me and Doughboy just thought we was going to chill, relax. We both been incredibly busy this week. I did a 3-hour year-end wrap-up yesterday with Rap Nerd. Shout out to Derek Moore. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off for the holidays because Christmas is always here with my family.
I ain't doing shit for Christmas.
You're always welcome to come here.
We skipped Christmas this year in the Esposito family.
Well, you can always come here, eat, drink, be merry, because it'd be lit over here on Christmas. We probably going to end up having another prime rib this year because that's the only thing I could think of cooking, and we running out of time to figure out what the Christmas menu is. I ain't really been fucking with my father for 2 years, but I bought him a present. That's growth, right?
I guess.
I ain't buy him no bullshit either.
Did you buy him a present because you wanted to buy him a present, or you bought him a present just because?
Because I promised, basically.
Did you really want to do it? That's my question.
Yes. I really wanted to do it because basically the thing with my pops, when I was going through therapy, I was realizing a lot of my issues was daddy issues. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to address him with those issues, and he was refusing to take accountability, and it was just pissing me off. Like, what, how he was acting. So I, like, kind of, like, cut my pops off. But then my grandmother passed away. My aunt passed away. Like, he losing, like, everybody. He pretty much all by himself now. And I know my dad loves me and cares about me and my little brother. So I told myself I'm going to try to make an effort to be a better daughter. Because my dad is getting older. And he do love me. He do try the best he can. So I said I'm going to try. So this is me trying.
Say like this. My pop's dead. You know, the only thing I miss of him is the fact that I can't talk my shit to him. I can't never say how the fuck I really feel as a grown man, da-da-da.
Like, oh, you can't express it I was trying to do.
I can't express myself to the nigga ever.
Because he passed.
And then on top of passing, like, I ain't really know the nigga anyway. So when the nigga passed, it was like I was more hurt because somebody died that was something to me but I didn't even know that nigga. Made me sad. Like, maybe like 5 years ago.
Oh, so you were a grown ass man when he died, but you never knew him. See, now that's fucked up.
I knew who he was, but I know of him. I could count on my hands like how many times I like been with the nigga in my life. Like,
did your relationship with your father make you go harder for yours?
Of course. See, that's why I'm more, you know, involved with my kids. Like. I said, well, it's just one of them, and that's not one of me.
So. And, you know, just like we were talking about with Nick, you got bitches that will be saying, take her to court, do this and do that. It's your fault. Like, it's your fault you're not seeing your kids. So what do you tell bitches that say that?
At one point, I remember you said something like that about going to court.
Didn't
know. It ain't as simple as that.
I just want to say this. If you can, when I say if you can, because... my old friend Jordan, that's when I first really learned that situation was fucked up, like with the court shit. Mm-hmm. Because basically, he got this white girl pregnant, and the girl was living with him. And then when she finally told her family that she was pregnant, they was like, by that nigger? Mm-hmm. Well, we basically not going to help you. So basically, one day when he was at work,
she left.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't get to sign the birth certificate or nothing, but he know that that's his baby. Mm-hmm. So... he tried to go to court and put himself on child support. Mm. But they basically said, you're like a stranger coming in off the street saying that this is your kid. You need to get DNA. So in order for you to get DNA, she has to give you permission to get the baby's DNA. That's when I realized if it's a situation where your name not on the birth certificate, or she done took your baby and went God knows where, mm-hmm. those are the situations you can't really tell them niggas to just go to court, because it's not that easy. But if it's a situation where you could actually go and you
see,
just
but
not,
a lot of niggas, let's be real, given the culture we coming from, right, a lot of niggas can't afford to have outsiders in their business. You understand what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. Like you can't afford for people that work for the state to be coming up in your household and you know, being in your business. And then another part of that shit is the motherfuckers that have you in pissing in cups and going to programs.
But see,
and
that'd be the shit where they be like, you choosing the wrong shit over your kids.
It's not you choosing the wrong shit over your kids. You choosing not to uproot your whole fucking life because this bitch is being fucking
difficult.
But
that's still, no matter how you put it, that's still you saying, I'm choosing my life over my kids.
No, I'm choosing not to deal with that drama. Because court is drama. And if you a nigga like me, you want a lawyer.
No, don't get it twisted.
You know what I'm saying? So it ain't
everything.
It's a lot of shit. Like, I could go to court for my 3-year old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could go to court for that shit. But then them people would get involved. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day,
he basically saying, I'm a good ass father, but yeah, I smoke weed. Yeah, you might come to my house and see some shit that probably you would say is not safe for a 3-year old. And that be the type of shit where they gonna say, well, I'm not suitable to be a father anyway. So why even go through that shit? When all they gonna do is probably try to revoke whatever kind of assistance I got. Probably even try to lock me up for having a roach in the ashtray. Like, whatever.
I'll give you a perfect example of some bullshit that happened. When I was going to this shit with my first son, and I had to go see this bitch and talk to this bitch, right? Mm-hmm. I go to the therapist, whatever. You know what I mean? To see, you know how cognizant I was and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. So, I'm walking in there. I got on red sweatpants, some red and black Jordans, red Scully, and some red gloves.
So you
and a white shirt.
Looking like a ski mask day.
So, it was like this kind of weather, whatever. So I walk up in her office. She stopped me before I get all the way in the office. She was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She was like, are you a gang member?
What?
Exactly.
Wait,
because I was wearing mad red.
But hold on. But so the fuck what?
Exactly. But this is what I'm telling you. This is the type of shit you got to go through. Like, now, what if I just spazzed on her, like? Because yeah. I know she was stereotyping me.
That's,
you know what I'm saying? What if I spazzed on her? Then she give me a wild review. Then, you know, I'm unfit and all this other shit. You know what I mean? It's shit like that. Like, just like when some bitch made an anonymous DCF call. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of which, I've done that before.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you why, though.
Hold on. Let me. I'm going to tell you why you should never do that. After you tell me why. But then, I'm going to tell you what happened. This bitch did that shit, yo. So I'm talking to the bitch. She trying to come in the house. Mm-hmm. I was like, my baby don't live here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, he's not here at the moment. And this ain't even my house. You know what I'm saying? So you trying to come up in here ain't working right now.
This is why I did it. I used to live on 7 Woodrow Street in Stanford. It's an apartment house type thing. When I first moved there, it was different because the owners lived there. So it was clean. It was different. When the owners moved out, before I know it, it turned into like this little rooming house or something. And these are two bedroom apartments. But these Spanish people got like 13, 14 people living up in there. Right? Mm. Now, one of the kids that was living up in there was cool with my godson. They was in the same class. That's how I even started noticing the little boy. Because my son used to play with him and be bringing him little food and shit out the house. And I'm like, why are you always giving him shit? He live right downstairs. Like, mm-hmm. He was like, oh, well, no. He's just making excuses. So now I'm paying attention. This little kid obviously hungry and shit, asking my godson. One day, the little girl, there's like a little 4-year-old girl that lived there. I went outside. The little girl is taking a shit outside in the front yard.
Oh, wow.
I asked her why she's doing that. She said because her grandmother told her the men that work there, they got to go to work. So if we got to use the bathroom, go outside. 3 times I seen her or her little brother pissing or shitting outside in the morning because the men that live there work. The icing on the cake, one day my cousin is sleeping in my mom's bed. The little girl had came upstairs, opened up the door to my apartment, sat next to my cousin on the bed, helped herself to a bag of chips and was just stroking my cousin's head. My cousin was like, how did you get here? The door was open, was looking for Devin. Where's your family? No one was there. Little girl in there hungry and shit. So I was like, yo, something, they not parenting these kids or something. So yeah, I def called.
And you know what the problem is? Came, probably everybody, see, they was, you said they was like Mexicans or something, right? What problem was is everybody in that motherfucker working, right? Mm-hmm. They all working towards something. And I hear where you coming from. But at the end of the day, from what I know about DCF, DCF ruined families.
But this is what happened. DCF came. They met with me. They asked me some questions. Then went down there and met with them. 3 days later, them niggas was gone. Packed they shit, moved. So I'm like, I don't know what happened to them or that kid. My godson said the boy wasn't going back to the same school no more. They packed their shit, they got the fuck up out of here.
Because at the end of the day, they probably wasn't legal, all types of shit.
Like, I wasn't even trying, I was letting mad shit, it was mad months that I was watching crazy shit happen.
I know what you're saying, but a lot of,
like,
I know what you're talking about. It's hard not to say nothing in a lot of situations, but sometimes the latter ain't what it is. Like, it's what you want it to be and what you think it should be, but it ain't what it actually is.
I definitely understand, but I guess the only reason I felt like I had to do that because it's now it's disturbing my peace because I'm feeling like I can't do nothing about this.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
And this is definitely wrong.
I know what you're saying. It's like, yo, some girl on my snap, I don't know, I don't really know her like that, but she started talking to me about her job and shit and how she don't like, she want to quit her job. I'm like, why you want to quit your job? Like, whatever.
Probably some bullshit reason.
She said that her boss was sexually harassing her. You know what I'm saying?
Touching or just
talking. I don't, she ain't getting into specifics and shit, but you know, that was the gist of it. So I'm telling her, like, yo, I'm like, so what you plan on doing? She was like, nothing, like, da da da. And I was like, you think that's the right thing to do? Like if you don't address it,
it
you just
gonna
do
no
it
better.
To somebody else. Nah, you gonna do it to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because when you don't address some shit, it enable a motherfucker to keep up with that behavior.
Which is the equivalent to my issue, because I felt like a snitch. That's probably what took me so long to even do something.
I know what
like,
you're saying. Because,
you know what I mean?
But at the end of the day, you know that shit you said about the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, as wild as it seemed to you, I understand that shit.
I do too.
Because I know, like, if you got mad motherfuckers about to go to work, like, that shit does take precedence, like. You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying, but
kids,
I understand.
Like,
I know. I know. But then
sure.
You got to understand, culturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going on over there right now type shit.
I guess
you know
my
what I'm
issue
saying?
With
like,
that is, which is why people be thinking I'm racist, because I be feeling like I understand your culture. I know how they give it up in Africa, Jamaica, wherever you from. But once you come over here, then you subscribe into a whole different set of rules.
But see, like, that's not what America is about, though.
That's what they claim it's not about.
No, no. What America is about is
liberation
you come,
and freedom.
No, exactly. You come here to live whatever way you want, free,
but
to make your
own
choices.
We got laws, right?
We got laws that you got to abide by, but at the end of the day, if you stay under the radar, just like this motherfucking whole communities that are under the radar, living on private property, like, governing self, don't fuck with the government, all types of shit like that.
All right.
That shit actually exists, like.
So, I'm scrolling down everything lit right now. That versus battle last night, let's talk about it.
I didn't even watch
that shit. They talking about if you use some gang, whatever. They was talking that slang shit that I knew that they were going to be doing. I didn't understand it. I will say this, though. Apparently, they a big deal to the Bay Area, to Californians.
Yeah.
They a big deal to them, so I'm not going to sit here and shit on their legacy. I like Blow the Whistle. I like certain E-40 songs. I like certain Too Short songs. I don't just sit here and listen to their music, but I do fuck with it. And I just feel like, one, their verses should have probably happened earlier. Billy made a good point by saying that. Like, one of the first ones, that
like
probably would have been a good one. Yeah, that
like
probably would
have
been a good one. Yeah. And another one, I think it should have been a little bit more catered to California, and I don't think it should have been so rushed, because I honestly feel like if Ashanti and what's her name, Keisha Cole, did theirs, that versus would have never happened.
What I do know, though,
I feel like it's been a long time since they had a versus.
I just don't think it was like, I don't think it was a relevant thing. But then what I do realize,
look at this nigga, bro,
is it make me realize something else, like the whole Nipsey Hussle thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody posted some shit on Facebook, and they was like talking about how Nipsey a legend and blah 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 and all this other shit like that.
He is, in his own right.
Yeah, he a legend in his own right, but he wasn't a legend until he got killed.
I be telling people that all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I made that post about Soulja Boy being more influential in hip hop than Nipsey, and people, and it was killing people to admit that.
Admit it. Yeah.
Like, it's not dissing Nipsey. It's not taking anything from his legacy. It's just giving Soulja Boy his flowers.
It's putting shit in perspective, actually. You know what I'm saying? Because if you put it in perspective, right, a lot of people on the East Coast ain't know about Nipsey. Nipsey was primarily popping on the West and probably overseas and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
I think what made us pay attention is when Jay-Z bought 100... copies of his mixtape that he was selling $400. Jay-Z bought 100 of them.
You know what made me pay attention? When you start fucking with Lauren London.
Why is that?
Because
you want her?
You, it's like, who the fuck is this nigga?
I feel that. I feel you on that. I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't pay attention to it.
How this nigga get her? Like, who?
Then I
look into the nigga. Then I'm like, oh, this nigga.
And when he talked, he on some real shit.
Now you see, like this is what I'm saying. Like, this is what made me notice him more in London. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I said that to a nigga. He was like, who's we? And I'm like, oh, niggas want to play that role like they was on Nipsey like that? Go ahead, cool. Because that's what's popular.
You know,
dude.
He wasn't.
Cool.
Yeah,
but my nigga, we was Facebook friends for a minute. I ain't never seen you post no shit about Nipsey.
You ain't say one thing about him.
Until niggas was dead.
Until
like the last couple years when he came out with that album. You know what I'm saying? And that shit was tough and, you know.
And it might not mean nothing to y'all. I know we touched on this last week, but I have to say it because I don't know why y'all so confused. Lil Wayne did sell his masters. He sold his masters, Drake's masters, and Nicki Minaj masters, as well as all the Young Money masters. So them little fucking Corey Gunn, Lucy's, Gutta, Lil Twist, all that shit is
Jay
gone.
Mills.
He sold that shit for crackhead prices. You can say whatever you want to say, why he did it.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I'm going to say he's financially in a crunch and he needs the money. And I'm not about to judge nobody because we all go through a situation where you need some money. But
man,
I just
that
wish...
That shit gotta make niggas sick.
Drake,
sick.
I don't think Drake give a fuck. I think Drake already on the phone with Universal figuring out how he gonna get his shits back.
I mean, I'm not disputing that at all, but it ain't gonna be cheap, nigga.
Nah, it's not gonna be cheap, and it's gonna probably be some shit that he gonna have to sell a little bit more of his soul. You know what I'm saying? Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, they probably
don't
really want to fuck him now.
Yeah, Drake is. In order for Drake to get his masters, Drake gonna have to suck a whole lot of dick.
Yeah, them June niggas gonna gangbang Drake.
Or he just might not care because now Drake is in a position right now where he owns his masters. He owns everything that he drops now because he's out of his Young Money deal. So it might be a situation like Jay-Z did, and he waited way deep into his career. And he negotiated to get his masters back. The only master that he don't own in 100% totality is Reasonable Doubt. And Dame said himself he ain't never, ever, ever, ever.
My God.
Big said too, though. Big said that he would never sell his part in Reasonable Doubt either. And when Vlad asked him why, he was just basically like, that's for my kids. That's my kids' legacy. That's something that I built. Like, I'm never going to sell it. So when you hear niggas talking about shit like Reasonable Doubt, and then you compare just Reasonable Doubt to Wayne's whole catalog, my nigga. Reasonable Doubt in itself would at the bare minimum pay their bills. They would never have to work again.
I don't even know how that shit worked.
Well, the way masters work is Like, for example, I have the masters of all of our episodes. I could re-release them anytime I feel like it. I could take the video footage and chop it up any way I want. Maybe somebody calls me and they say, hey, I seen this episode and Doughboy had this dope-ass look on his face. I'd like to license that episode. And then they chop it up and then they use whatever. And then they pay you. You basically get paid over and over and over again for your shit. You get the royalties. You can put out remasters. You can put out remix albums. You can re-release your albums. It's just it's generational wealth. People have to now pay you to use your shit in a movie or some shit like that. Mm. So now that Universal owns it, if you hear Lollipop in a commercial now, Universal's getting the royalty off of that. You don't get that no more. He may still get, there's two different kind of royalties. There's like a mechanical royalty and another one. He still may get like the performance royalty of it because he did perform it. Mm. But the ownership royalty is gone. And that's where the money is. If you're talking about like an 80-20, 80% of the royalties go to the person that owns it versus you getting this little bit for performing. That's why every rapper will tell you they get their money when they perform. Because that's not money you owe the label. That's straight in your pocket.
That's wild.
I don't know why y'all keep Maybe on trying
pure to... pure fucking niggas regularly.
But I don't know why Wayne did that. The only example, the only reason to justify Wayne doing that is Wayne is financially hurt. Did you hear the new G-Rebel track?
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan either, but I think Fab wrote his new shit.
I'm not a fan, so I don't listen.
I only listen because everybody was talking about, yo, G Herbo spitting. And I'm like, yo, that nigga is whack. He couldn't possibly be spitting. Anything that I'd want to hear, because his album was really whack. But then I watched a little video, and I'm like, yo, Fab wrote this. Because you know he's with Fab's daughter, is that right? They in a relationship.
Always mean what you say.
This sound like a Fab type beat.
Real nigga till I leave. Elevated, do this rapping shit with ease. I got a brick on my sleeve. You dissing me, please. Compare me to different MCs. Stop it. I really am the shit, so I won't pop. Before Twitter was a trending topic, I was on the block with 30 shots and Glocks. Had the spot hopping. Dummy. But they acting like they don't remember that. Been a leader with that heater. I got right up into that. You can't it's never like- take a killing back. Whole heart was in the streets. I had to leave and get my fucking feelings back.
He wanna be on beat. He's trying to be on beat. But he started like a second too soon and he has not caught up. But if you've ever listened to any of G Herbo's music, you know he don't be rapping like that. That's why I'm like, yo, Fab,
that's Nah, that's him. That ain't Fab Pen.
You don't think so?
I know so.
Same spot they shot my brother.
Well, Fab can't go all the way Fab because they gonna know.
Nah, he can't. I don't think Fab could dumb it down that like, I'm dead serious.
Next day I'm chilling at, I ain't lying, they was winning till we started spinning backs. But anyway, said enough of that, let's talk about this table. Let's talk about them jets, yeah, let's talk about Jamaica. Ask about me, I ain't never been a fraud. I went hard from the start. In my city, I'm a god, motherfucker. If you know, you know. Never been no phony though.
I don't know, you know how I feel when the beat ain't got no drums. So I
feel like he's spinning though. I usually don't like him. And I like this so far.
And he's going to address his indictment because, you know, he be scheming and scamming and all of that, booking private jets. I personally think Fab had a lot to do with that. Look at this guy right here, Famous Dex.
What's wrong with him?
That nigga's on crack or drugs or some shit. Remember I was telling you these industry motherfuckers is turning these rappers into drug addicts, like... They giving him the shit.
That nigga look wild.
That nigga ain't got no eyebrows no more. That nigga's cooked. And I don't know if you remember when I showed you the clip. The nigga was on Adam 22 and he just like fucking fell. Like.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, this is the new generation. This is who these niggas is.
Yeah, that nigga look like he on death row. Like he about to die soon.
Speaking of death row, about to die soon. You watch Power today or last night?
Yes, I did.
All right. I don't know, but I was right, but I was wrong. Remember when I said that I think, what's his name, 2-Bit?
2-Bit.
2-Bit was going to be helping Tariq?
Yeah.
He helping Tariq only because he get grease in him.
Yeah.
But I feel like eventually it's going to switch up. He's going to be helping him, helping him.
Yeah.
I think I called that.
You know, it's a while. I'm as happy the nigga in the show. You know what I'm saying?
You see how he rolled his eyes with Spank Mom? He gave Spank Mom. He like, I got a front like I like this bitch. Yo, I like, yo, shout out to you, 50. Power Book 2, dope. I like this shit.
I just don't, you know, Drew throws me off. Like, I don't, like, I don't like watching that shit. Like, I don't like watching that shit. Like, ew, nigga, like, ew.
You know why?
Like, it's pure
ew. You,
like,
I feel you, but I also understand the other side.
No.
The other side of it, for me,
I
is
know.
Because
it's representing everything. I understand that. I know what it is. I know what it's
but
about.
But you just don't like it because in your everyday, that's not what it
and
is.
And then it ain't realistic.
That part, I'll give you.
That
there ain't that many gay gangsters. Like, and if they
it
are,
is. No. Let me stop. You know what? I take it all back. Because it's niggas that got down and then, you know, I would never speak ill on niggas. You know what I mean? But it's niggas I know that I done heard stories about. You know what I'm saying? And niggas get shit smacking for real.
But Drew don't be hiding his shit, though. I guess that's the difference.
He do.
He do, but he don't. Exactly. To other gay niggas.
He don't hide it to gay niggas. But he hide it to everybody else type shit. Unless they figure it out.
I don't know, but I feel like Drew... Like, I feel like Drew, one of those people, if you ask him he gay, he not gonna say no. But, like, the type of dude that you describe, and if you ask him, he's gonna be like, fuck out my face, the fuck.
I think that's what Drew's response would be, too. If you pay attention, Drew don't play that gay role until he around that nigga. Or he around his family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of Drew, he fucked that nigga
up.
Yeah,
he did him filthy. I respected it.
Hell yeah. Like, I didn't see it coming. I was my heart was pumping. I was like, please don't shoot Zeke.
You know what's going to happen? Either Kane going to get killed.
Oh, Kane already dead, bro.
Kane going to get killed. Kane probably got to get killed. Kane going to get killed.
Yeah, he's dead already. And that scene... Where
but Two-Bit might kill him.
When Reek noticed the dude that was following him, that was Rush. Y'all could have let that go a little bit longer.
I don't think so, because at the end of the day, it's a nigga staring at you. Then, like, you know, you
yeah, but in real life, and for me, most likely, if I felt like a nigga was following me, I'm about to go back in the game where there's more people at. Like, I feel like in they could have just, like, made Reek go back in there and then had a nigga, he still see the nigga, and then he'd be like, yeah, what the fuck, and then he try to leave just to make sure the nigga following him, and then that's when they could have did the pool scene.
I just feel like they did it real fast. The joint. I don't know.
I feel like that part went a little fast.
I think
like
it went a little fast, but I think it was
sneakers,
dope. Once
then
he looked
ran.
At, he looked, nah, he didn't run once he looked at his sneakers.
That's true. He didn't run that fast.
If you watch how it played out, he played it right.
Yeah, he
you know what I'm saying?
He found something that he can identify the nigga by.
Nah, he waited for the nigga to follow him the second time.
True.
But if you peep, he switched up the meet with the nigga 2-Bit.
Yeah, he told
2-Bit
to
go,
meet him
by the pool.
Yeah.
So once he did that, like he know 2-Bit coming.
Yeah.
He know 2-Bit went that bread and ain't nothing gonna happen to him.
Speaking of which, Reek, you're gonna have to get your skills up. Because, yo, your father wouldn't have been getting fucked up like that by that pool. I mean, you know what I mean? If 2-Bit did not come, I don't know.
Yeah,
Reek was kind of getting handled. I'm saying, if you go back to the old Power and you watch Ghost be fucking niggas the fuck up. And every time somebody approached...
50 almost killed Ghost, though.
That's true, but that's different.
So,
you
gotta, why?
Because
shit happens.
Because
that's,
Ghost learned from all right, 50.
But listen, Tariq ain't... Was it in the streets like that? Other
that's what
was
I'm just
streets.
Trying to say. That's
I know
part
what
of
you're
what,
saying, but at the end
of
the day, Tariq's still a killer.
That's true. But what Ghost was trying to tell him, you're not built like this. And that kind of shows through when the hand-to-hand combat part come. He be getting
And if you pay attention,
but he's smart, though.
Tariq only wiped off the part that he put his hands on.
Yeah, he didn't wipe off 2-Bit prints.
Yeah.
But didn't 2-Bit have on gloves?
Nah. Tariq a smart-ass nigga. Yeah. I keep everything. You know who I don't like? Who I'm starting to really like?
What, the male teacher?
Yeah.
But, yo, I feel like he going to get caught out in the wildest way. Because he
everything
obviously...
Everything going to fall on him.
Yeah, he obviously stealing Tariq's homework.
Everything going to fall on him. He trying to do that book shit, right?
He's still in Tariq homework writing a book with it.
Okay.
But he's still, you see how he following Tariq though, right?
Listen what I'm telling you. Everything gonna end up falling on that teacher,
so you
nigga.
Feel like when the shit hit the fan, Monet and Tariq gonna somehow put that course correct shit on the teacher.
Yeah.
Yo, I feel you. Cause
that's
it. I'm thinking, cause he downloading the app.
Yeah, he's
busy trying to tie Reek to it. And
he,
I'm like,
he
yo.
Too close. He put himself too close.
And I also think he gonna get a little bit too close to Monet. And Monet already know that Zeke fucking that teacher. She's suspect.
Yeah.
A little bit. As soon as she figure out that
Mary's
teacher
so
got
extra,
no,
though, yo.
You think
Mary's so
her
extra.
Character or
she's
how
so,
she act?
How she act. She's so extra, yo. That shit crazy.
Yo, and do you be watching? Well, now you know my question pattern.
Yeah, I can answer some of them a little bit. I mean, better anyway.
All right, you guys, I'm pissed off. Me and Clinton, we was having a dope conversation. I'm glad that this is my best friend and I can talk to him all day until I fall asleep on the phone, because that shit was not recording. And you want to know the funny shit, see? I was talking about watching the red light blink. When it's recording, the red light is solid. Yo, that's some fucking bullshit. I'm supposed to be a professional podcaster. I've been begging this man to come on this podcast since I started this podcast.
And I'm going to go up there, too.
I didn't want to fuck this up, because if anybody knows, see, he's, I don't want to say he's a perfectionist, but he's more so, if it's not right, I'm not going to fucking do that shit. I would rather not have the exposure, not have the props if that shit is bullshit. So I didn't want my first opportunity to get him on my platform and then that shit be fucking bogus. I went to go verify the recording and that shit was not recording. I almost lost my fucking marbles. But we're here with episode 62. It's called Reparations. We got your Jersey City legend in the making, Clinton LG. You are a legend in the making, in case you didn't know. I wouldn't say you a legend already, but in the making.
No, you ask certain people. I'm literally telling you what others have said. I'm not, this isn't me saying that.
He said this isn't me saying that. Now, if you guys do not know who Clinton LG is, he is a rapper that I met on this website years ago, and I actually didn't like it because he was rapping on Can't Nobody Tell Me Nothing, and that's like my favorite Kanye West song, and I didn't like what he did to it at first. But then we started talking, and I realized, yo, this nigga is really cool. He could rap his ass off. He's been on my Crazy Pellas radio show plenty of times. Me and him have just developed a wonderful friendship. There's so many. I have video footage that he'll kill me if I ever release. That's my guy right there. Now, what you guys are going to learn about him is probably nothing. But by the end of this, you're going to respect him. I can say that. Now, see.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what LG stand for.
Left and girth. Yeah, depending on who asks, but it's my initial.
They are. So it's like, is LG a double entendre?
It's a bunch of things. It's length and girth. It's lesson giver. It's the life guy. It's a few things.
So it's funny. It's funny. So it's depending on who you're talking to. They might refer to you as Clinton Lithengirth. They might refer to you as Clinton Lesson Giver. You know, it that's actually kind of dope. I never really thought about it like that.
You can be whatever you want, but the real thing is just literally just my initials.
What made you decide?
Music is mean, so.
What made you decide you're going to rap by your name? Like, you're going to drop the ghetto, you're going to drop any alias, and you're going to just use your name. What made you do that?
In between my original hiatus, which is when I stopped being Young Ghetto, and the time between that and becoming Clinton LG, I was really trying to figure out, all right, I know I'm not going to come back out as Young Ghetto, so I really need to figure out, you know what I'm saying, how I'm going to present myself. And I was coming up with all these stupid-ass names But at the end of the day, I'm like, the music that I'm making is just me. It's a representation of me. So, what the fuck? Like,
do you remember any of the stupid names?
What's that?
Do you remember any of the stupid names?
Honestly, no, I don't. I don't.
That would have been funny.
Probably would have been funny, but I don't remember. I just remember that they weren't worth remembering.
Now, this is your first single that you're going to have like on the major streaming platforms, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell them where to go find your back catalog? Because there's actually a lot of Clinton LG music to be found.
As far as projects, if you go to hifisociety.bandcamp.com, and there is a dash in between hi-fi, so it's hi-fi society. You can find my first three projects on there, and like every other local rapper, I have a SoundCloud where you can find both titles on there as well.
And a little cheat code.
Some of that stuff will make it to streaming platforms very soon, though.
Another thing that you can do, though, however, is you can download the Bandcamp app and you can just search Clinton LG. All his shit comes up.
That too.
You can also Google him.
Yes.
And his stuff comes up.
That too. And again, I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you guys. And we're going to put some of the old stuff up on the DSPs as well. Anything that's not to to industry beats.
And so, you could actually find, if you are a DJ exclusive enthusiast, I got a mixtape with, I got actually two mixtapes. One mixtape I got, he gave me an exclusive. I actually never dropped that exclusive. So I actually have a Young Ghetto exclusive with him rapping on They Don't Love You No More. He probably don't even remember doing that for me.
I think that was LG. That was still LG days.
I got that. I never even dropped that. I might just drop that for shits and giggles. And I also have, I'm probably one of the only people alive that still has the Young Ghetto Go Hard. That shit is on one of my mixtapes. That's probably one of my favorite songs by you, even though that's technically your old you.
That is Young Ghetto shit, yeah.
Now,
that was the tail end of Young Ghetto.
Yeah, that beat is just so fire. We won't get into the semantics of the beat, but the beat is fire. That song is fire. You're not the average rapper, though. So I think that you should paint a picture of what your fans should expect if they want to become a fan of you, because now they're used to like the way these people are, these new rappers, the way that they are. This is what they're used to, so they're probably going to expect that of you.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I don't know.
Okay, so look at the way the music business is. Look at how these rappers trolling for clout. They in fake relationships. They're ultimately selling their soul for the fame. You're not gonna be that kind of artist. You're not gonna put your whole day to day, everything you go through on social media. You're not gonna.
My life is too boring for that anyway. Like, I don't really do a lot of interesting things that is worth documenting.
True. Like, you don't go get drunk no more.
I mean, no. I mean, yeah, not drunk. No, I drink socially. But I don't drink or anything. No.
And he don't eat meat. Tell people why you don't eat meat.
My body started talking to me, and I started listening.
Okay, so his body started.
Older, you know what I mean? Not the same. I don't got that metabolism of steel that I used to have. So you know, I gotta treat myself right so I can continue to do this God shit.
Yo, you kill me with this God talk. You really do, especially because you're not the religious type. So, since you're not religious, how do you associate the word God with yourself?
People have to unlearn and kind of relearn. So, when I say God shit, they have connotations already in their head of God, but you kind of have to really understand what I mean by God. God isn't, for me, some nigga in the sky that's all powerful that you worship. That's, if anything, that sounds a little demonic to me. But God is just self. It's I have all control of me.
Okay.
And no other entity. So I'm saying that's, it's a lot deeper than that. But the basis is that for me.
All right. So this album that you're going to drop is going to be, what, your fourth or your third?
Might be my sixth. Because, let me see, we got, if I'm going to count Midweek Mayhem, that's one, The Answer, Spike Coffee, Population Control, and Full Sam. So this will be six.
See, I didn't think that you...
Five if you don't count Midweek Mayhem.
See, I didn't think that you counted anything as an album that had an industry beat on it.
Okay, and then if you want to do that, then yeah, it would be three. But I'm just saying bodies of work.
Now,
if we're talking bodies of work, it's six. If we're talking album,
can you explain to people how you as a man transitioned through your albums? Because as your friend, I can see it. Like, The Answer is one person that you have now outgrown.
Not necessarily.
I think The Answer was like your more ignorant troll side. I mean, you was woke, but you was still a little bit, you know what I mean? Spike Coffee.
There's multiple memes that exist simultaneously within me, and the me on The Answer is very much still present today. It's just more mature.
Okay, I'll take that. Now, Spike Coffee, I feel like the title in itself talks about a lot when you was drinking a lot more than you do now. What do you say about Spike Coffee compared to your personality and who you were then and now?
Spike Coffee was 100% inspired by the drinking lifestyle that I was a part of during that time, but it was a lot to do with the music too. Like, you know, there's some shit in your shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
back mass messaging.
Yeah,
that's dope.
I put a lot of codes in my music, so that's the title, and that extends to the titles of myself too.
Exactly, so, because then the next three projects kind of all fall in line, because then you got False Idols and population control and False Idols. To me, is like you're being controlled by False Idols.
And then
you bust it down, and we come in. You won't drop the title, but we can just say reparations. You've been controlled by these False Idols for so long. When are you gonna ask them for what they owe you? Which brings me to reparations.
It's an interesting narrative. And it's not wrong either.
I mean, my hot takes be hot, man. Now,
it's an interesting narrative. I mean, this spiritual journey that I've been on is very much connected to the music too, because a lot of the stuff, like you said, The Answer was where it woke, Spike Coffee, Population Control. If you knew me, then I wasn't. So that's how I know a lot of this shit is real, because my higher self writes my music. My music doesn't come from this realm. My music doesn't come from here. It's actual. So, yeah. There is a narrative. There is a story behind my project. And as I said, this is very much revolution music. So if you go back and listen to Population Control, and it's just the intro, but if you listen to the whole album and just look around you, like, that came out in 2014.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
False Idols is a little different. It didn't come out when it was created, but it was still made, you know what I'm saying, during those times, and it's still applicable for shit going on now.
Now, you got some crowdfunding. You got a whole bunch. I'm going to just say it like this. I'm going to drop some tea that I know for you guys. Clinton was in hiatus for a very long time for a lot of reasons, mostly because he's a music snob and he's still stuck on the old way of doing things, rolling out your music in a certain kind of way. So if he couldn't do it the way that he wanted to do it, he wasn't going to do it. I think between people like me and his friends, people got so sick of him being in hiatus, they was just like, yo, we gonna do this shit for you. So now he's working with...
That's not how it happened, but...
Based on some of the stories you've told me, that's basically it. Like, for example, The Watchers. You say they're your friends. I know them for, you know, making beats for, you know, famous people in the past. How does a nigga that ain't put out a project in years get them to say, yo, nigga, take these beats? How do you get the Watchers to do your first single and you're pretty much an underground rapper that's been in hiatus for forever and you get a collective with industry placements to say, yo, here, we doing this. We're going to get your artwork. We doing this. How do you do this?
It's funny. Damn, I wish they was here. The album, Reparations Included, it's funny, it's a culmination of a lot of conversations that I've had with the Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Just from just kicking it on some homie shit. Like, we really be talking. Like, this revolutionary shit is not... this is like I'm friends with activists. I'm friends with people that really like do shit. So that's kind of how, as far as the content of the album came about. The content of the album came about just from our conversations and just real life and everyday regular shit. But as far as the actual music coming together and all of that, that's the universe. Like that wasn't his divine shit. The way this project came together don't make sense.
Now, shout out to Gats. A lot of people don't know Gats. He dropped, in my opinion, a Jersey classic in Coin Toss. He is also one of Clinton's best friends as well. Very close. They have a really good relationship. And last time we talked, you were telling me that Gats was in the process of building a studio. Were you able to record anything with him in his studio, or is he a part of this project at all? Did he write anything?
The studio isn't built yet. I recorded somewhere else, but Gas has been a part of the project from a supportive standpoint, 100%. He don't even go by Gas anymore. He actually is Crew Paris now. Crew Paris, he is a DJ and a house producer now. So he's in the house scene, and he's actually enjoying success in that field now. It's beautiful. So shout out to my brother.
Shout out to him. A fun fact about him, he actually has one of my top 20 favorite songs of all time. And it's by him. And a lot of people won't admit that unsigned or underground artists have the ability to put something out like that. And this song that I'm speaking of, it's called Celebrate. You can watch it on YouTube. Clinton's in the video licking some chick's face.
Relax.
I love that song, though. Real shit. I love that song. That's one of my top 20 songs. I listen to it all the time. It's on several playlists of mine. And I would love to hear what he's doing now that's different in that scene. And I was hoping that he would, you know, bless this project, or I will get to hear him and you again.
Don't expect any hip hop anything from him. Don't.
You know, one can hope, just like a whole bunch of people waiting for you.
I'm telling you, man, don't expect anything. The only way you would get something is if I was to pull him out, and I wouldn't use him for that. I would use him for other things that would be way more effective.
Well, you know what it is for me? As a rapper, producer, and all the things that I do, I might not do all of them at the same time. Like right now, I'm really on my producer DJ shit. I'm not rapping on the back burner. But when I hear a certain beat, or when I get into a certain mood, I can't help myself. So I guess I'm saying, who knows? Maybe I might be kicking it or something, listening to beats, and something just comes out of him when he feel like going in.
That happens, but y'all are never here.
I could take that. Now, there's a guy. Man, you joke about him all the time. I be throwing him shade on the internet, but I love him. It's all love. Shout out to Louis Avenue, right?
I love him. That's my brother.
One thing that I can honestly say I love about Louis is because Louis has a son with a handicap, and he talks about it, and he's proud of it, and he sheds light on it. And he, not that he's proud that his son goes through what he goes through, but he doesn't hide it. I think that's important, because a lot of people, act like they can't love their kid the same if they kid, you know, not like everybody else's kid. I like that about him. I like the fact that he know how to troll just like the rest of us, but he keep it real too. Another thing I like about him is that he kind of reminds me of you musically. Like back in the day when I first discovered Louis, his music quality wasn't the best. But as I'm listening to his newer shit, he done stepped that shit way up. His video quality is awesome. And he's another person that I could say, besides you, Jersey should probably be paying attention to. Do you guys have any collaborative things coming up in the future? Because y'all have enough music to really have an album.
We got enough music to have a catalog, period.
Facts.
That's the game, and I have to reiterate that is my brother. That's family shit. And Louis and Dev and Scheme, of course, all of those. Shout out to all of them.
They're called Scheme, right? Their crew Scheme.
Yeah. Shout out to Scheme, Buddha, all them. The whole collective is family. It's like they high five adjacent, and I'm Scheme adjacent. So
yeah, they're affiliates.
Louis is a monster and a machine in himself. You know what I'm saying? And like he got that Gucci Mane ethic, work ethic. Like
yeah, he works a lot. He puts out a lot of music.
It's incredible, and it's inspiring, and it's motivating, and it's right now there's a special something happening within Jersey because everybody's getting better. Everybody that been dope is just blasting. Like these thresholds are it's crazy. Everybody's just elevating. So Louis's working on some shit.
I seen his tweet. He said he relapsed to the studio.
On some shit. Everybody's working, and everybody's got shit coming. So it's real. Very
exciting. I def seen Louis' tweet. He said he relapsed in the studio from drinking. He said he ain't been drinking in a while, and he went to the studio and relapsed. So that tell me he's probably got something. So is he going to be on this project?
Say again? I didn't hear you.
Is he going to be on this new project or no?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know yet. Maybe.
Because I could hear a Reparations remix. You know what I'm saying?
I don't really do remixes like that, so...
You don't?
Don't expect no remixes.
Why is that? Why don't you?
I don't know. I feel like the song is the song, and if it was supposed to be on the song, it would be on the song. There's no point in a remix. If I'm gonna do... I'd rather do a sequel than a remake.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, and if it's a sequel, then it'll be a song.
How do you feel about this age that we're in where most songs are like 2 minutes long, because you still make like 3-4 minute songs.
I still make long songs. Yeah, I don't do ADD rap. I'm not against it. And if it makes sense for a song to be short, it's cool. It's like, there's no rules to anything. You can create however way you want. If you want to do a 30 second song and that's your bag, go for it. If you want to do a 7 minute song and that's your bag, the only rule is that you have to be able to sustain the listener. That's the only rule.
Would you say
I can do that? You know what I'm saying? But you know.
All right, so we're about to have one of our arguments.
Okay.
You guys, it might not mean nothing to y'all, but I used to manage this artist named Stress the Glamour Kid, right? And I used to be trying to like manage Clinton at the same time and tell Clinton different shit he could do, like book him for different performances and try to like set him up to be this certain kind of artist. But he's always been apprehensive against being what I would call an industry rapper. Clinton is the type of rapper, he gets an idea, he delivers it to best of his ability. This is what I would want to listen to, and then that's that. But then I'm over here like, okay, so this is what we got to do to push it. He'd be like, nah, fuck that. I'm not doing none of that. No, fuck that. Nope.
You be wanting me to do old shit. I'm not doing old shit.
It don't even be about that. I just be wanting him to do average shit that rappers do. Like,
let me tell you something. Average shit be whole shit, and I'm not doing whole shit.
And that is,
if it's average, it's whole shit.
And this is what I want the fans of you to know. The fans of Clinton, don't think that you're going to follow him on Instagram and Twitter, maybe get a friend request on Facebook, and you're going to suddenly know shit. Like, you're not going to know nothing. You'll never, like, you'll, if he has a girlfriend, you'll find out after they've been together for like 2 years. Like, you won't really find out anything. Like, when you follow him on social media, his social media is kind of like the lyrics to Reparations, just not the words, word for word. It's just different things that relate to what he's saying. He's not the type of rapper that's going to be like, yo, I got merch for sale. I got this for sale. Hey, come look at me over here. So that's why...
some of that stuff is coming soon, but...
that's why I wonder, like, what would you... how do you want to interact with your fans? What kind of correspondence do you want to have with your fans, since your average shit that rappers do, you not jacking that?
It's still a learning curve, and I'm still figuring that out. I'm not even sure how accessible I want to be, because, like, I'm very empathic, and I don't be fucking with a lot of energy, because you can absorb that shit. So I don't even be wanting to be reachable a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I'd be asking him, you guys, I ask him how he's going to handle fandom. Like, right now, we're spreading Reparations everywhere. We bumping that shit everywhere, right? He not going to be able to handle that when it's out of your control. Like, right now, your fandom is in your control because it's small. But when you take off to a level where DJs and radio people and people start playing your shit out of your control, and now motherfuckers is just recognizing you, coming up to you on the train and shit, then what?
I cross that bridge when I get there, but you also have to understand that this industry is very rapidly changing. Mm-hmm. And the industry that I am about to fuck up is not the industry that you are familiar with currently. So please,
that's a bar.
Keep that aware.
That's a bar.
I'm on a whole different type of time than a lot of people. So I'm moving on my own time, and
I fuck with that.
Motherfuckers just gotta respect that.
Now, when you say you moving on your own time, is that why you're unwilling to give us a drop date and an album title? Because
I don't have a date.
Okay. Because you're moving on your own time.
When the universe lets me know it's ready, mm-hmm. y'all will know.
Yeah, I feel that, because I said I was going to drop Exit 9 on Christmas. And I'm starting to feel like I don't want to do that anymore, because after listening to some of it, I'm like, yeah, it's dope, but I mean, not the body of work.
I wanted to drop the whole project on the date that Reparations came out, but it just wasn't ready.
It's not right. Yeah,
like, chill. So I was like, all right. But
what would you say to a person that tells you that they don't understand Reparations? They're like, I get what you're saying, that it's time for us to take what they owe us, but how are we supposed to do that? What would you say for the person that says you didn't offer enough how to?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that famous expression, the revolution will not be televised. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the revolution will not be televised is because the revolution is internal. So the first thing you have to do is get right within yourself. You can't change your surroundings if you're not changing yourself.
Okay.
So you have to go within. You got to do some inner work, figure some shit out within yourself. And trust me, when you do that, you automatically start learning things, and things will start coming to you on how to get your reparations, and how to start fighting back, and how to step into your godhood, and how to do all of that dope shit. So
now, without getting too much into your private life, if there was a female that was listening that was feeling your vibe, what are some of the ways that you like to be approached by women? Because you told me earlier you got a lyric that said women gotta earn you, right? So what are some of the ways a woman can earn you?
I'm big on energy and frequency. So you just gotta be on that. You gotta be on that right frequency. I'm on some sapiosexual shit too. So your mind gotta be. I'm mental. I'm shallow too. Yeah, I like something nice to look at. But if the interaction isn't genuine and organic and just on some naturally dope type shit, ain't nothing of that.
Is it safe to say that you're a pescatarian?
Yes.
Does she have to be as well?
No, but it would be nice. But it's not a requirement. But again, it's about frequency and energy. So a lot of people that are on a similar frequency that I'm on are on the same type of shit that I'm on. So a lot of shit just be automatic.
Now, I have tried to convince you in so many ways over the years to, like, create a home studio situation. Now, once you get, like, your home, like a house that you know that you're going to be in for a while, would you consider doing that, yes, or you're still
going to
be adamant?
That's going to happen. A lot of things are already going to happen.
Because before, you was just like, no, I don't want no studio in my house. So I was just wondering if you would ever...
It wasn't time for that. It wasn't time for that.
Okay, so... Oh, I see what you want. I see what you're
I'm
on.
I'm very guided by intuition, and it has not led me ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, what he said is very important, because I would like to say I have a very influential personality. People have actually been yelling at me a lot lately, telling me that I should be more accountable for the things that I say on social media, because people listen to what I say and follow it like I'm DJ Academics or some shit. Now, I'm willing to accept that, but it's hard for me to accept it when people like Clinton are like my best friends, where no matter how much I try to influence him to do something, even if it's in his best interest to do these things, he will not do them until something in his mind and his body and spirit says, okay, now it's time for you to do this. And I think that's a bar. People got to start to do that. Social media and things pressure people into doing things that they're not really ready to do. And then they're upset by their results because it's not what they've seen on social media. Tell people about how you are with social media, because you're not like you used to be. You've even changed your social media presence. Before, you used to like post all these crazy memes all the time. Now it's just more like you're more self-conscious all the way around.
If I wasn't a musician, I would not have social media at all.
Why?
I don't like what it does to people. I don't like what it does to myself. I don't like it. I don't vibe with it. I like Twitter, but
overall,
but overall, I probably wouldn't have any social media if I wasn't doing anything creative.
I know you don't follow new artists, but have you ever heard of NLE Choppa?
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of you, just nowhere near as lyrically inclined. But the reason why I find the comparison in the two is because when I first discovered him on the XXL cover, he was doing his drill, kill a nigga, shoot a nigga, gang, gang, bang, bang. But something happened to this man when he got into the music business. I don't know what he seen, what someone tried to say to him or do to him, but he just completely snapped out of it, and now he's on this whole conscious thing telling people to get gardens, and he's basically saying a lot of the same things that you say in your music, and he was actually brave enough to walk that in his music. Like, he started releasing music reminiscent to him, like, trying to wake up the masses. I think that's very, very important, and you may not like his music, but I do think that people like you and him are necessary, because you're the more lyrical side of it. Like, okay, I could really listen to this. I could really jam this. But he relates to the younger generation, and he's kind of like on the same shit that you on. Like, yo, y'all got to wake up.
I'm going to just say, be very careful with the artists that the industry gives you, even if their messages seem like they're positive. And that's all I'm saying.
No, I understand that 100%, because you already know how I feel about Tupac and all of that, where I think that that was the motive with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a lot of false idols out here, and I'm not saying he is or isn't one. I'm just saying be very careful with the artists that come from the industry, even if they're saying things that sound right.
Yeah, the only reason he kind of caught my attention, because he was just like any one of them at first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then he suddenly just, I don't know, he had this awakening, I guess. I don't know. And for me, that's what happened to me. I went through some shit in my life, and that now I
feel certain ways about certain shit, and I think about things differently because of my personal experiences. So that's why I kind of look at it like, yeah, I think that he might be on it for real. Now, besides yourself, do you listen to anybody else?
My friends. I primarily listen to instrumentals and beats, and I listen to a lot of, like, other genres. But in the world of hip-hop, I listen to my homies. I listen to Louis Dove. I listen to Niz.
So you listen to no one but your friends?
Yeah.
No, no Griselda, no Freddie Gibbs, none of that?
Every now and then I fuck with some industry artists, but for the most part, I listen to beats.
As a Jersey City native, where is Joe Budden on your top 10 list?
I don't have a top 10 list. I don't believe in that, but he is a big influence on my creativity, yes. I get a lot of my introspection from him.
That's fair. That is dope because I see it. What would you say to people that want to get to know you in your music? What would you say to the person that they don't know you personally, they don't know nothing about you, they just listen to this podcast and they're interested? What can you tell them that they're going to expect when they go to that band camp and they start listening to, let's say, they start from the beginning? What are they going to expect?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. I don't know. Just some good music, some dope ass beats, some dope ass bars, and hopefully if you listen and you come away with something that you didn't have before. Hopefully you come away with more than, oh, that was a good song, or that was a dope ass, or that was a dope bar. Hopefully you come away with something tangible.
Would you say COVID made you more creative, or COVID kind of had you in a funk?
COVID is a motherfucker. COVID, there's a lot of silver linings that came with COVID. It allowed, I don't know if I would have broke hiatus this year if it wasn't for COVID. Because just things were happening internally that COVID was a catalyst for. When I say internally, I mean spiritually. I don't mean health-wise. I mean, like, you know, we went on lockdown, and a lot of people were forced to be alone. And when you're forced to be alone, you gotta deal with some shit. You gotta face some shit.
That's real.
I'm grateful for all of it, the ups and the downs. And there was a whole lot of them.
You such a humble ass nigga. What do you want people to know that we may have missed? What do you want to tell the people that are listening right now?
Turn off the news. Unlearn.
He said unlearn. Yes, please cop reparations. It's only $1 on Bandcamp. You can Cash App them. What's your Cash App?
It's 99 cents on Amazon and Apple and iTunes.
What's your Cash App?
My Cash App is Clinton OG. Please bless me.
Yes, please send him a donation. And he don't care. You can send him $1. He'll be very, very happy with that. Not that he's a bum-ass nigga. It's just that he's a humble-ass nigga. That's why I love him so much. And ladies, he is definitely single. He's 31. He's in Jersey City. He ain't scared of trains, though. Just wear your mask.
Pause.
Yo, this nigga, see, I wasn't even thinking there. My mind's always in the gutter. I'm trying to be big this man up, and he over here being a fucking fruit.
Yeah.
Now, we about to sign off.
All right.
See, his people are coming. This is the perfect time to sign off. So let's thank Clinton LG for coming. Round of applause. He's stupid. Alrighty, I gotcha.
Thank you.